Grabby Torch Livecast is brought to you today by FanEssentials.net, providing you with apparel for your favorite sports franchise, and by the good people at LootCrate.com, where July is Futuristic Month. Save $3 off your purchase by using the code PWTorch.
And when that happened, we would normally force them in the pool.
Right.
And the look on someone's face when you shove them and they're in the air and they're saying to themselves, no. And they realize that they're completely, totally wet, watch the whole deal. It is one of the funniest things in the world.
What? I got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I'll tell you that much.
Where you been?
Once. In Monopoly.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a Sparkle Kid.
Hello, you people. Today is Wednesday, July the 6th, 2016. I am your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast. The Wednesday intro song is Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. They're the official artists of the PW Torch Livecast, and they're available on iTunes. So it sounds something like this. You got it. We're coming at you with 60-plus minutes of wrestling fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your calls, 646-721-9828, here on Blog Talk Radio. We are taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room is open right now at pwtorchlivecast.com. And, yes, you can even send in your Twitter questions to us at RealPatMcNeil. But without any further ado, we have a very important guest, so let us get on with the program.
To introduce our guest star, that's what it's time to do, so it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this next guest is a former ring announcer for the WWF, the AWA, World Championship Wrestling, and Ring of Honor, and author of the book Body Slams, Memoirs of a Wrestling Pitchman. Please welcome to the program for the first time, the one and only Gary Michael Capetta. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fine. It's a great honor to have the world's most dangerous ring announcer with us. Gary will be. We are taking your calls for Gary, 646-721-9828. Let's see here. Let's see who we are. Gary, I know that you have a couple of appearances coming up this summer that I want to get to. First of all, you're going to be part of the the Masters of the Ring convention coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Masters of Ring Entertainment, Wilmington, North Carolina, on Saturday, the 23rd of July. It's a wrestling convention, which I'll be involved in. There's a nighttime show, which I'm not participating in. But, I'll be there all day from 10 in the morning till 4 or 5 o'clock. And it's a great vacation town, right on the coast,
yes.
North Carolina, in Wilmington. So I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of folks from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, all in the area.
That is a very big show. Also, I believe that you're doing a benefit show in Philadelphia in the month of August.
Yes, it's a show for it's a radio broadcast that's going to be broadcast live. All the details will be on the Gary Michael Capetta Facebook page. It's to benefit wounded warriors, wounded military veterans. So folks can, that's Tuesday, August 23rd in Philadelphia in conjunction with Geek Time Entertainment. So that all the info on that will be on my page also.
Okay. Let's see. Gary, for those of you who don't know, started in the World Wrestling Federation in 1974 when he was a young man and continued on from there until the rock and wrestling era came in, was part of the AWA during the ESPN days, and part of World Championship Wrestling for a long time, and lasting until the mid-90s. And if you have the WWE Network, especially with the stuff from AWA and and the NWA that's up. There is a lot of Gary Michael Capetta on there. Is it weird? I don't know. Have you seen any of this? Any of the old material that's up on the WWE Network? Is it weird to see yourself, 20, 30, 40 years later?
Yeah, people send it to me all the time, and I'll post it up on my Facebook page. No, it's not really weird to see. It's just that when you're involved in any kind of a profession where it's recorded, once you do it, it's there forever. There's no,
yeah.
Whether it's good or it's not good, there's no getting away from it. So, but there are a lot of great matches that I was honored to be introducing through the years.
Okay. We're going to take a break for a crass commercial message. When we come back, we have your calls, your emails, and a good conversation with Gary Michael Capetta. This is the PW Torch Livecast, and don't you go anywhere.
When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. Do you shop at amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you.
Okay, and it is also my job to give you a quick briefing on our featured sponsor, LootCrate.com. Loot Crate, as you know, is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. As a matter of fact, if you sign up and do a one-year subscription, the cost of your crate goes down to $13.99 a month. Now, you don't get to know what's in the crate until after you open it. The July theme is futurism, and there is all sorts of interesting stuff in there. Let me go ahead and pull this up as to what you're getting this month. You don't know exactly what you're getting, but you know that you're getting merchandise that includes Star Trek Next Generation, Futurama, Mega Man, and Rick and Morty. So go ahead and check that out. Go to LootCrate.com. Look at everything they have there. They have the Loot Crate DX, which does not have anything to do with Shawn Michaels. It's just a bigger Loot Crate. They have Loot Pets. They have Loot Anime. They have special limited edition crates for Star Wars, Call of Duty, Firefly. It's a lot of fun, so check it out. It is LootCrate.com. We are back here with Gary Michael Capetta, legendary former pro wrestling ring announcer and guy who ended up being part of the business for 21 years with national promotions and briefly with Ring of Honor. 646-721-9828 is the way you reach us. Let's go ahead and kick things off with taking phone calls. If you are listening on Wednesday for the first time, we try to keep it very simple for you. You can ask up to 3 questions. You can make up to 3 comments. You can combine the 2 as in 1 question and 2 comments. But at the end of the day,
3, that's a magic number.
And my boss is Wade Keller. Wade has asked that this be a PG show that is minivan friendly.
While
so,
we're waiting for our next
caller,
we'd like to remind you folks calling in to keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
All right, let's see if we can do that. We're going to start things off in the 862 area code. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Gary Capetta.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
Welcome back to the show, Kylan.
Thank you, Pat. Question number 1 for you, Gary. Who was your favorite person whose name you got to ring out throughout your career?
Wow, you're talking about tens of thousands of wrestlers. I mean, I can make up one, but I guess just because he was a childhood hero, I'd say San Martino. But most of the people that I worked with in pro wrestling were, you know, were really, really good people. I guess that's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, from the book, it sounded like you you got along with the vast majority of wrestlers you came into contact with, to say the least.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. All right, next question, Kylan.
Question number two. Why did you leave World Championship Wrestling in 1994-95?
Yeah, because at the time, they wanted me to live in the Atlanta area. I've always lived in New Jersey. They've always flew me out of Jersey. And they wanted me to work some in the office, and that's just not something I wanted to do. So, so my contract wasn't renewed that last year. I worked with WCW until May of 95. They did want me to do an event after that, which we just didn't come to terms on. But I had bought a house in Jersey, and I really liked, you know, living here. And I did not want to work in a politically charged environment. I just enjoyed traveling and announcing. And if that was going to change, then I wasn't going to be part of it.
Okay, that's interesting. What did they want you? Did they tell you what they wanted you to do in the office?
No, we never got that far.
Oh.
It just was a non-starter. I just had no interest.
Okay, I mean, I'm trying to think of what that could be. Would you be ring announcing? Would you be announcing people as they enter? Now entering the building, Eric Bischoff. You know, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because after a while. And then throughout my tenure with them, there would be times when I wanted more of a challenge, and I would always try to nudge Jim Herd about, you know, doing something different in addition to my announcing, doing something a little bit more, but he was long gone by then. He had nothing to do with this. This was
right.
Eric Bischoff had taken over, and it was
okay.
Just not something I wanted to do. Yeah, I guess along the lines of Howard Finkel, you know, working in the WWE offices for all those years. I'm pretty competent at a lot of different things, so I think they saw that.
Okay. Go ahead, Colin.
And final question for you, Gary. Since you just brought him up, what is your opinion of Howard Finkel, and what are your opinions of some of your current contemporaries, such as Tony Chimmel or Lillian Garcia?
Howard and I have a really good relationship. You'll find that with ring announcers, most times ring announcers don't know each other very well because there's little need to have more than one ring announcer at an event. So even though you may work for the same company, which we did, you know, there was an overlap during my last years with the WWF, you don't have an opportunity, you know, to interact. I did see Howard... I want to say it was 2 years ago at a wrestling convention in New Jersey. He came over and we had a nice conversation. He wanted to take a picture. We took a picture. And, I've always had a lot of respect for Howard. So not much of a relationship as far as, you know, a personal interaction, but professionally, you know, obviously... He knows who I am. I know who he is, but that really is the extent of it. And I'm not familiar with current announcers. ring announcers.
Yeah.
So, you know, who are on TV every week. So I really can't answer that question. I have been out to indie shows because I've been booked to do guest ring announcing. So I have seen some of the younger guys that are out there. And, you know, there's a lot of, just like with the wrestlers, there's a lot of terrific talent, you know, behind the mic. If I were to have one problem with what I see with current ring announcers, is sometimes I'll see an announcer get in the ring, introduce a match, sit down, and then outside the ring, and then not pay attention to the matches. And that's a pet peeve of mine. Sort of like what there's a certain spotlight that's put on you, and if you're going to be sitting outside the ring during a match and you're going to be going through your phone, or if you're going to be talking to a fan, then you're sending a message that what's going on in the ring isn't all that important. And the guys that are in the ring are trying to keep the focus on them, and I think that it's your responsibility to support that. That your job isn't announcing a name, a weight, and a place. You're a representative of the promotion, and you know it goes. Your job goes beyond just bringing a wrestler to the ring.
All right. That makes perfect sense. Okay, Kylan, thanks for calling.
You're very welcome, Pat. We'll talk next week.
Thanks Kylan.
I'm sure we will. Kylan drops off. That opens up a line for you. 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is another way you can reach us. And, of course, the chat room's open, and Twitter is open. Let's see, before we go to break, let's go ahead and take one of the many emails that we have here. Brian from Des Moines, Iowa writes, Gary, did you have any misconceptions on professional wrestling when you first started with the WWF?
Yeah, everything. Because when I started, wrestling was a very closed shop. And as far as what really goes on behind the scenes, that was a huge secret. That was a huge, there was an iron curtain between the, and I know it's difficult for a fan of today to conceive of the fact that people were presented with an actual competition, that no one ever spoke about anything other than wanting to win a match. And you know why they didn't like their opponent or what they were going to do, you know, in an upcoming show. But we were hooked into all state athletic commissions, and it was presented as a real competition. So eventually to learn that it wasn't, and I know that that is so odd to a fan today because of how the pro wrestling's been exposed. But and today, someone who's into wrestling and follows it is following it on a very different level than back in the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah, that's pretty fair to say the least. Okay.
So everything was a revelation.
All right. Well, what was the when the first day that you got to work on a wrestling show, what was the first revelation? I hope I'm not giving away too much from the book.
I'm telling you, it took 2 years for them to allow me into a locker room. So I had to dress separately and, you know, and all of that. I think what you might be referring to if you read the book was I didn't know how to get in the ring. Is that what you're thinking about?
Well, yeah, that comes to mind. Yeah. I had the opportunity to ring announce many years ago when I was working for a local radio station. And one of the things that was revealed to me afterwards is, hey, you're supposed to wipe your feet before you get in the ring.
That's right.
And
that's protocol.
It was revealed to me by, of course, the guy who owned the ring. But that is. It's something it sounds simple until you actually do it, I guess would be a way to describe it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, you know, and the first night, up the three steps to the ring apron. And then what? Like, I'm not under the bottom rope. I'm not going to jump over the top. You know, it's like, and I'll tell you the truth, that today when I go out and do the guest ring announce appearances, the one thing that, it sounds ridiculous, but the one thing that confuses me, that throws me off, is out of respect, when either the referee or the ring announcer, after I'm introduced, hold the ropes open for me, because I'm not used to that. I have my certain way of getting in the ring. It's just, it's like riding a bicycle. You just, you know, you're just used to, you know, doing things in a certain way. And when they open the ropes open for me, it's just like, okay, I'm not used to that, but that's really nice. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. We are talking with Gary Michael Capetta, veteran of the professional wrestling industry since 1974, and known for a long time as the world's most dangerous ring announcer. 646-721-9828. We're going to talk more with Gary Capetta right after this. Time out.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com.
And we're back with more of the Wednesday PW Torch livecast here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Torch columnist Pat McNeil. I do this every Wednesday, 5:30 to 6:30. Wade Keller will be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. I am joined this week by Gary Michael Capetta, a legendary former ring announcer from WWF, WCW, the AWA, and Ring of Honor, and author of the book Body Slams, Memoirs of a Wrestling Pitchman. The number is 646-721-9828 here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to go back to the telephones. Let's go this time to the 814 area code. 814, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Gary Capetta.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi. First question for Gary is, what's the first wrestling match you ever announced?
It was, I can tell you the first wrestler that I ever introduced, but I don't remember who he wrestled. It was Pretty Boy Larry Sharp. That was in Wildwood, 4th of July weekend, 1974. Main event on that show was Bruno Sammartino being challenged for his title by Nikolai Volkov. But I don't remember who Larry's opponent was.
All right, I'll go ahead and look it up. Keep going, Ryan.
Second question is, what's your most embarrassing mistake you've made while announcing a wrestling match?
Embarrassing mistake? Honestly, nothing comes to mind. There were times when I was embarrassed, but it was only because, you know, I was attacked by a wrestler like a George Steele or Jimmy Snuka. But I really didn't, nothing's coming to mind. I was knocked out in the Philadelphia Spectrum by Iron Mike Sharp. That was embarrassing. Oh. Maybe the mistake was getting in the ring. But, there were different things along the way, such as that.
All right, you know, I can't find who Larry Sharp's opponent was on that day here. All right, carry on, Ryan.
And my final question is, who taught you how to take bumps if wrestling was so close-ended to non-wrestlers back in the 70s?
No one. I wouldn't know how to take a bump. What I can tell you is that whenever the wrestlers did anything to me, they were very understanding that I'm not an athlete. Once in Staten Island, New York, I was body slammed by High Chief Peter Maivia, for instance, and he was just having fun. You know, I mean, it was going along with his like vicious kind of character, but he handled me with kid gloves. There was nothing, never any time before a match where anything was ever laid out where I was going to be attacked in any way. These things just happened, and I think that they just thought I was a prop. No, I never had any kind of training to do anything like that. It's just any of the guys that got involved with laying their hands on me, throwing me around, they were careful with me. So I was fortunate with that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Pat.
I appreciate it.
Hey, it's 646-721-9828, pwtorchlive@gmail.com. The other way you can reach us. Let's go ahead and hit some of the emails. Thank you. All right, this is Brian from Charlotte, North Carolina. Brian asks, Gary, who did you like working for more, the WWF, the AWA, or WCW?
WCW was the organization where I was totally in. When I was working for the WWF and AWA, I was teaching school, so they were part-time gigs for me, traveling through Europe and Canada and the islands and across the United States. It was just awesome. So for that reason, because it was a full-time thing for me, on all of their Clash of Champions, which was their primetime specials, pay-per-views, house shows, night after night after night, I would be on the road for 20 nights a month. I'm a bit of a nomad, so I kind of like that, you know, just bouncing around. And that fit me really well. So I would say WCW for that reason.
Okay. You were working as a teacher, and it's my understanding that according to Wikipedia, you still work as a teacher. Is that true?
I retired. I took an early retirement about a year ago.
Ah, okay.
So, but it is true that I taught for several years. In 1989, when I had an offer to go with WCW, I resigned. And when I came off the road, I wrote my book for 2 years, and then I resumed teaching. Then I resigned, and I took another couple of years off, and I went and promoted the book. And then I went back to the same classroom. So I was back and forth for a lot of those years. I was really fortunate because I kept on going back to the same school. And I was just fortunate that there was an opportunity there when I needed it. And so I just hopped back into the same classroom.
Okay, there's a follow-up question here about what you thought the differences were between the three companies. You're talking about kind of substantial differences, I would say, from reading the book.
Yeah, and I'm also spanning many years. So,
right.
I mean, there was just a huge difference in pro wrestling in 1974 compared to the mid-2000s when I was the backstage interviewer for Ring of Honor. I mean, it was totally different. And I had a real good time with Ring of Honor. That was one of my favorite experiences. When I was brought in there, it was with the understanding that I would not be a ring announcer. I didn't want to do that. So so I was the backstage interviewer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I had done the same thing for 30 years, so I just wanted a different experience.
Yeah, I'd say from seeing that you did a fine job as the backstage interviewer. I think from your book, and I'm urging people to go out and buy the book for themselves. It's Body Slam's Memoirs of Wrestling Pitchman, and it's available on Amazon and pretty much everywhere that you can buy books. I think what struck me is the most out of that is, you know, in the 80s you're working for the AWA, and you ask Vern Gagne a question about the ESPN show, and Vern doesn't have cable.
Well, yeah, sort of. The show wasn't going so well. First off,
right.
This was the very first pro wrestling show on ESPN. It was Slams and Jams. It was an hour and a half of wrestling and an hour and a half of roller derby. So Vern was having difficulty with the ESPN people. He was having difficulty with the casino people, and he asked me the question of Gary at the end of one of the tapings. Gary, what do you think about our show? And that's a very charged question coming from the owner. You know, I mean, you don't want to be brutally honest about anything negative that you think, but I would have, you know, so I almost tried to avoid answering the question, and I just turned it around on him. And that's when I said, you know, oh, well, Vern, you know, it's pretty good. Like, what do you think? And he just looked at me and said, I don't know. I've never seen it. And I thought to myself, goodness, like I was speechless. Like, where do you go from there? I think that's the story that you're referring to, and it just gives you – we're talking about a guy who promoted in the Midwest and then Colorado, California, successfully for decades and decades. And he did a great job with his AWA promotion. But one needs to remember that he had no competition. It was a time when there were territories. And when you owned a territory, wrestling fans in that area, to see a live show, you were going to see the AWA or you weren't going to wrestling. So it was a very different environment when the McMahons expanded nationally, and now he had to compete, and it was something that was foreign to him. And it wasn't to say that he wasn't I mean, obviously, he was a terrific promoter. He was terrifically successful for decades, made a tub of money. But he didn't know how to compete because he never did before. So he probably never watched any of his old AWA broadcasts while they were being shown every week in Minneapolis, Chicago, and Green Bay, and so forth, because he never had to.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Plus, in addition to that, I mean, I've read Larry Zbyszko's book, and there's, you know. And he got in, and he was back in during the tail end of the AWA, and things obviously didn't go, you know, weren't going well for Vern Gagne and the whole competition. Let's see, another email question. Who does Gary feel is the greatest wrestling announcer of all time?
The guy that I patterned myself after, and anyone who's a performer. Usually you pattern yourself after someone when you start, whether you're a singer or an actor or, in my case, an announcer. And at the time, it was Jimmy Lennon out of the Olympic Auditorium in Los Angeles. I always thought he was he was a really classy kind of announcer. I'm not even sure how I came to know of him and his style back then because, you know, there was no internet. There was... It was difficult to see wrestling from other areas. Then there was another guy who was with the WWF on their broadcasts, and his name was Friendly Bob Freed. And what I liked about him was he was a little, I don't know how to say goofy without it sounding like a put-down.
Yeah.
But he was like a very common kind of guy. He was very. He would be like your uncle. You could have a good rapport with him. So I like the combination of the professionalism of Jimmy Lennon Sr. and the personal the personality of someone who the fans could feel comfortable with. And I think as the years went on, my style encompassed both.
Okay, and Jimmy Lennon Jr. I've seen on boxing telecasts for years now, so there's obviously some sort of a legacy there. All right, we have a question from the chat room. Our man Chicky Singer asks, Gary, have you ever played the Legends of Wrestling video game that you announced on?
Once.
Okay.
When it first came out, I was out in Seattle. I was visiting a friend. And he rented it. I checked it out. And people send me, and I appreciate it because there are things that I haven't and I never would see. People send all kinds of videos to my Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I've posted a few of the things that have come in, you know, matches that fans have created. Somebody sent me 36 minutes of just me introducing wrestlers. I'm not sure why he would create such a thing, but
I'm guessing because you don't know what you look and sound like on the video game.
That was fun to do. I had a mm-hmm. terrific time doing the video game. It's all a matter of the pitch of your voice, because you're not, when you're recording that, you're not recording an entire introduction. You're not saying, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, weighing 265 pounds, the World Wrestling Federation champion Bruno Sammartino. You're not doing that. You're saying, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, from Davenport, Iowa, from Newark, New Jersey, and the computer later on is plugging in that with weighing 210 pounds, weighing 215 pounds, weighing. So the tenor of your voice, you have to be aware of it so that when the computer plugs all of the different segments together, it sounds like a natural ring announcement.
It's got to sound like you're doing it and it's supposed to sound like you're doing it in an arena and not, you know, in a studio.
Right. And because the fan, the gamer is creating the matches. So while we're recording this, I have, you know, there are innumerable combinations that someone can come up with. So it was, the game has to be prepared to deliver a Bruno Sammartino or a CM Punk or a Sergeant Slaughter intro. So it's all a matter of the tenor of your voice, so that when it's all stitched together, it sounds like one regular, exciting, hopefully, introduction.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we still have plenty of time to go, almost 25 minutes. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We're going to take this final commercial timeout. When we return, more with Gary Michael Capetta right here on the PW Torch Livecast.
So for a tasty treat that's good to eat, try Soylent Green. Soylent Green is people. Soylent Green, made from the best stuff on earth. People.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch Livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch Livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to pwtorchvip.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. It takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/goVIP.
All right, and we're back with more of the PW Torch Livecast here on Blog Talk Radio and on pwtorchlivecast.com. I'm Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Wade has already talked about on this commercial the many benefits of being a VIP member. I think there's usually there's something else I'm supposed to mention at this time, and I'm trying to remember what
your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Okay, you go to pwtorch.com/goVIP, $10 a month, $99 a year, pwtorch.com/goVIP, and you get at least 15 VIP-exclusive audio shows per week, including the VIP after show that James Caldwell and I will do for Torch VIP members after we get done here today with Gary Capetta. You get your newsletters online and slick PDF files. You get on the ad-free version of the pwtorch.com website, and for a lot of people, they say that that's the benefit that they like the most. And, of course, the Torch newsletter is there for you every week. Also, I get to mention our other sponsor. It is FanEssentials.net. FanEssentials.net, all you do is pick your favorite sports team. Every month you get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find the sports gear so you don't have to. Each fan box comes packed full with amazing gear. A great gift idea. Prices start at just $34.99. And when you use the promo code PWTorch at checkout, for your first purchase, you get 30% off, which $34.99, that's quite substantial, folks. They started specializing in the with the NBA, and I believe they're moving on to other sports. Now, the part that I like from their website is they promise that if you get something from them as part of their box and you already have it, just contact them and let them know, and they will send out another piece of gear, and you don't have to have something that you've already bought. So check it out. It's FanEssentials.net to get all of the essentials you need. We are back with Gary Michael Capetta, the legendary former ring announcer of WWF, WCW, and the AWA, and author. And Gary, and that's not all that Gary Capetta has done. He also created a screenplay. Is that right?
I did. Before we go on, I was just listening to your promo about your VIP membership. And you mentioned the name John Arezzi. John, if I'm not mistaken, he was the first guy who almost like created wrestling fan conventions.
That's the guy.
Way back in the day. And I just think that would be I'm plugging your VIP membership, but I just think his broadcasts, which were in the New York area, I think, alone, would be pretty fascinating to listen to today. But anyway.
There are a lot of people who enjoy, going back and listening to stuff from, 20, 15 years ago. And some people even listen to my stuff from 5 or 10 years ago. So, it's all there. That's one of the advantages of becoming a Torch VIP member. And, of course, you get to listen to, because really there's really not enough pro wrestling podcasts out there today. So we feel like we have to add them on a regular basis. All right.
Back in the day, they even had fan clubs for wrestlers, and there was even a Gary Michael Capetta fan club, and that's the era where John Arezzi was. He was an innovator in presenting wrestling in different ways, or the wrestling, the topic of wrestling, in different ways. So that's pretty cool. The screenplay, to answer your question about Fall for the Dream. When I was writing Body Slams, I found one of the easiest and the most enjoyable parts of writing it was to write the dialogue and listening to a wrestler's voice or a promoter's voice and putting their words with a spin that was unique to how they spoke. And I realized that's what a screenplay is. It's writing dialogue. And so that was one of the ways that I promoted Body Slams when it originally came out, was to offer a companion, because I had it bound. It's a book. And You know, and I had agents shop it around. It's never been picked up, but maybe someday. It's called Fall for the Dream, and it was fun to work on.
Plus, if you ever move to the Los Angeles area, you pretty much have to have a screenplay to live out there. So that's
it's like your passport.
Not that you'd ever do that, but
yeah. Who knows?
That's true. All right, we're going to go back and pick up some more of these questions. 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Oh, the chat room. Okay, Chicky Singer asks, how do announcers hold their bladder for 4 hours during a wrestling show? Well, let's start with this. Gary, how many four-hour shows were you doing back then?
You know what? That question isn't as ridiculous as you might think because between the prep beforehand and, I mean, you're not involved in the show the moment it goes on the air and the moment it goes off the air. But the answer to the question is that you're just so involved in what you're doing, you don't even think about, you know, unless you're not well that day. You're not even thinking. You're not even thinking about that. There are so many other considerations and so many other pressures. And you're performing when you're, you know, when you. Would he ask that question of Bruce Springsteen?
No, let's see. That's a good question. I mean, there's, you know, Bruce Spring, most concerts you get, like, you get an intermission, so there'd be an opportunity, I guess, to go and take care of that. You know, that's a good point. Bruce has had some long concerts over the years. I don't know. I really don't want to predict what Chicky Singer would ask, actually.
You're just so focused on what you're doing that it's not even a question.
Okay. Question from Sam Wise in the chat room. As an announcer, were you ever told to say something that you really didn't want to?
That's a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, a lot of there were times when I had to deliver bad news to the folks, but I don't really think that's what the questioner means. No, when I worked with Vern for on ESPN, if you go to YouTube and you check out my announcements with WWF and then AWA and WCW, you're going to see a progression and a difference in the way I announced. And the reason for that and what I didn't like was Vern asked me to give broader announcements. He wanted to change the style of my announcing, and I did what he asked me to do. And I don't like my announcing from that era. But I was just doing what the promoter asked me to do. And then I settled into my own style when I was with WCW. You know, but there were a lot of announcements that, for instance, someone recently, to my Facebook page, somebody recently sent me it's a house show video of me telling the folks that Ric Flair had been stripped of his world title. And that he wasn't going to be there that night. So, you know, that wasn't very popular. There was also Ron Simmons won the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. And the folks that were there expected that Sting was going to challenge Vader for the title. And in what transpired with Jake the Snake coming on the scene and taking out Sting, they weren't going to see that match. And my challenge always was, because there were times, especially in the arenas where I worked every month, like Baltimore and Jacksonville, and where there would be a main eventer that wouldn't show up. And so you had to go out and tell the people that was the case. You had to offer them a refund. And my challenge was to make the folks believe that what they were going to see was going to be even better than what they had paid to see. And I always used to gauge my success with how many refunds were given that night, and the fewer refunds, the better I thought I put it across. But other than that, it's a profession, it's a job. I didn't take these kinds of things personally at all. In fact, Bill Watts had planned to make the announcement that Sting wasn't going to wrestle for the title that night. And I suggested to him that he not do that, that I do that, because he was relatively new in WCW. I think it was his first TV exposure. I said to him, do you really want to make an announcement because we know that the reaction to this announcement is that people are going to boo. You know, they're going to boo you out of the arena. Why don't you let me get booed? Because I don't think that's the first impression you want to make on national television. And, you know, and he went along with that.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. All right, let's go back to okay, we have more questions. Okay, great. All right, how did you handle it when the finish to a match got changed? Well, I imagine that when you're first starting, they wouldn't tip you off on the finish, so that would solve that problem. But I guess he means later on in your career.
Well, that was throughout my career. I would never know what a finish was. So I wouldn't have known that a finish got changed.
Okay. But that makes, again, yeah, I understand that. Okay, let's look here. Yeah, we had, all right, email question. Who does Gary feel the greatest WWF, WCW, and AWA world champions of all time were, one for each? Yeah, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say with the WWF, you might be thinking of Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say, you know, Ric Flair with WCW.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I wasn't with AWA that long to, you know, to have seen a wide variety of their wrestling talent.
Right.
Because we did the ESPN show out of Atlantic City for 6 months, then the show moved to Las Vegas. I didn't go with the show because I was teaching. And then Vern would fly me out to Chicago or Minneapolis to do his major events. So honestly, I saw, I announced the title change in the Meadowlands when Rick Martel lost to Stan Hansen.
Yeah.
But I didn't see a whole lot of their champs.
I think some people would go with Nick Bockwinkel as maybe the greatest AWA champ.
He's a terrific guy. What a, yeah, and I have seen video on him, and he's a master of the ring, no doubt about it.
And you ended up, and he ended up coming to WCW, and you got to work with him again.
That's right. He was, to the public, he was a commissioner.
Right.
What a gentleman.
All right. Well, I mean, when you talk about your career, you're talking about over three decades of wrestling events. What's the one that you work that probably stands out for you the most?
That's another tough one. In this, just because there was so much, I usually go to a series of matches. When I was with WWF, after Bruno Sammartino had lost his title, Superstar Billy Graham was the champion, and Bruno came back for his title. Live show-wise, 3 months in a row at the Philadelphia Spectrum, 19,500 people sold out each month. Bruno came back. You know, he came back for his title, and then there was a rematch, and then there was another rematch. So that was exciting. And then with WCW, I would say the Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, that three-match series, that was very exciting also. On the live house show kind of front, whenever I toured Europe, I always loved that. Royal Albert Hall in London, it was great. You know, there were just terrific opportunities that I had in, you know, different places.
For people who don't really know, I'm just going to pick a sort of a hypothetical situation. You're doing a television taping for WCW in Gainesville, Georgia. What is everything, you know, sort of run through what you're doing as you prepare for the show and what you're trying to keep in mind? You know, just sort of given, I mean, I think people know what the ring announcer does maybe at the local indie show, but, you know, everything that you sort of have to keep in mind when you're doing this.
Well, first thing is in the afternoon you have a production meeting. So, you know, the show may start at 7:30, 8 o'clock that night, but at 3 o'clock you're in the production meeting. And they have handouts, and it gives you the lineup, and usually you're doing more than 1 week of television. Just going through the formats as to who's, you know, who's wrestling who, and if there's a new guy, it gives me an opportunity to say, okay, where is he from? There was one time when it was with, do you remember Trucker Norm?
Oh, yes. Mike Shaw.
Yes, Mike Shaw. And so they were introducing that character that week, and Dusty Rhodes was conducting the meeting, and so I said to him, so where's he from? And he said, wherever you want him to be from. So I created From the Highways and Byways of America, because he was a trucker. He was on the road all the time.
Right.
So that, you know, that would be, and I'm just going to use WCW as an example.
Right.
So you have your production meeting, you go through it, then they usually would have a buffet, so you'd get dinner, and then you'd go into makeup, and any other information that I needed, maybe it could be from one of the wrestlers or, you know, just whatever, just to be sure I had all my I's dotted and my T's crossed, just to be sure I had all the information. And then before cameras started to roll, I would go out and welcome the people live, tell them they were going to be part of a national broadcast, and do my best to get them revved up so that when the camera started to roll, very often you would see them scan the audience with the cameras, and people are on their feet, and they're cheering, and they're stomping, and that was my job to get them up like that. And that's where having a rapport, getting back to Friendly Bob Fried, having a rapport with the fans was really important, because they were working with me. I was, if they didn't care about me, they wouldn't listen to me, probably. And
right.
So they were helping me to do my job. And usually I would make up a story. So, you know, when we were on the road, taping stuff, I would make up a story. And I can't believe that they believed it, but I told them that there was a meter in the truck that tested how loud the crowd was, and that we were going to see who the loudest crowd in the country was. And right now, and if we were down south, I would pick northern cities. I would say right now Philadelphia is number one and Chicago is number two. Do you think you can beat them, Greenville, South Carolina? You know, or do you think you can beat them, Dallas, Texas? And as the night would go on, I would say, okay, guys, look, you're fifth. And then as the night would go on, I'd say, you know what, you just creeped up. You just passed Baltimore, Maryland. And they would get on their feet and they would scream. And that would be my technique in getting them to, you know, beat other cities and if they were the best fans or not. That was just something I made up, and it worked.
I can see people taking notes right now as to how to do that. Now since you brought it up, what was the loudest city that, in terms of loudest audience, in your opinion?
Probably Baltimore. Baltimore, the southernmost northern city, was one of the only venues where the NWA was allowed to go in that the WWF ran on a regular basis. Because WWF had in their contracts for Madison Square Garden, Philadelphia Spectrum, Boston Garden, Pittsburgh Civic Arena, all through the Northeast, they had in, and I guess it was the same when they expanded wherever they went, that no wrestling event could be presented, let's say, 30 days before and 30 days after. So just so they went to that arena once a month, everyone else was blocked out. And the Baltimore Arena was one of the few venues that refused to go along with that. Once, because they saw what the TV ratings were for the NWA in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And they knew there was a popular show. And so the WWF pulled their product out of that arena, and they worked the Cap Center, which is between Baltimore and D.C.,
yeah, land up. Yeah.
Yeah, we were able to go into the Meadowlands, and after a while we were able to go into New Haven, Connecticut, where at the time the WWF would send spies to view our house shows. And I know Howard Finkel and Pat Patterson used to come in disguise and sit up in the cheap seats to watch things. Which was
I'm afraid to ask. What were they disguised as?
No, they were just they weren't disguised as, you know, anything else other than, you know, maybe wearing sunglasses or hats, or like Pat's has platinum blonde hair. Because I was sitting at ringside one, and now of course I knew these guys because I worked with the WWF for 11 years. So and I was one of Pat's first friends when he came from the West Coast to the WWF. And I remember sitting at ringside, one of the matches was going on, and I was sitting with the chair pushed back against the railing, and all of a sudden someone was pulling on my coat, and I looked down, and it was Pat. So it wasn't like even he was hiding. And
yeah.
It was just that no one would expect him to be there, and no one recognized him.
Just wanted to say hi. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, Gary. It's been a fun hour talking with you and learning more about the history of pro wrestling. Gary, how can your fans keep tabs on you via social media?
Best thing is the Facebook page is Gary Michael Capetta. Mm-hmm. Anyone that requests to be a friend is accepted, and you can follow. Every day there's something new that's posted, and they can join in the conversation. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay, and we'll just plug this once again. July 23rd, it's the Masters of Ring Entertainment, I believe it is, in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yep,
and then
convention
August, all day.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Okay, and August 23rd, you're doing a benefit for Wounded Warriors on the radio in Philadelphia.
Yes, and it's a live broadcast. It's from a comedy club in Philly. And once again, if people go to my Facebook page, and it's Gary Michael Capetta, 2 P's, 2 T's, they'll find me there, and all the information will be there.
All right. Well, Gary, it's been great having you on, and we're definitely going to have to do this again at some point. For the rest of you, tune in, VIP members, tune in later tonight for the VIP After Show. And tomorrow, Wade Keller will be by at 1 o'clock to do his Thursday interview segment. Until next week, everybody, keep your feet on the ground. Keep shooting for the stars. Good night.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
Sit, Boo Boo, sit. Good dog.